Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion as we have our interview today with one of our city council candidates for District 2 here in the city of Jacksonville. We'll introduce him in just a moment, but I want to set the stage on where we're going and what we're talking about today. I believe it's vital that every Christian, every conservative, every patriot vote. I understand that in the 2020 election, that some 40 million Christians didn't bother to vote. 40 million. I understand the 2022 election, some 26 million Christians did not bother to vote. And I don't know about you, but that's a real eerie feeling to me to think that we are in a society, in a nation, a city, and a state where so many believe that it's not important to vote. I've shared with you before, and I'll say do so again at the risk of redundancy. I remember a number of years ago when Jay Fant was running for U.S. House, the Florida House of Representatives. My wife and I sat in his office on the day that he was to be sworn in, and I said, "Jay, you realize that it's our two votes that put you in office?" And he laughed. He said, "Dr. Youngblood, I've had about two dozen of them. It's their votes that put me in office." But the point is, he won the seat by two votes. And so every vote counts, and I believe that it's time that we, as conservatives, Christians, as those that are concerned about our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, that would take a stand and go to the polls and vote. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904 if you're tuned in by way of Internet. And out of the area code, it's 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. And especially when we start interviewing our candidate today, I pray that you'll tune in and join in the dialogue and discussion. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's not a matter of what I think, say, or feel. It's not a matter of some political pundit's position. Our discussion on the issue each and every day is not based on denominational dogma or some philosophical rhetoric. It's based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, when the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus made a declaratory statement in two places. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, he points to John 17:17 and says, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a partial truth. It's not truth as CNN, the Communist Network News, and other news media in the land today that they might think or say or feel. It's truth. In fact, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." You say, "How long is forever?" It's forever. And it endures forever. It's the truth of the Lord. So I commend it to you. We're in a society today where truth is not looked at as being valuable. In fact, it goes back to the secularist George Orwell. Orwell made a statement in his dystopia novel, 1984. George Orwell said this: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that happening today, perhaps more than ever in the history of America. It goes back to a statement that I've used many, many times down through the years. Former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint made a profound statement. Jim DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Jim DeMint says this: "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in many of our churches. Ladies and gentlemen, we find in the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% believe this. Let me just read you from the survey. 55% said, each person determines their own version of truth. Each person determines their own version of truth. That's what's wrong with America today. That's the reason when we hear the candidates running for office so often will say some things. It is the crafting of their own truth. And I believe it's time, ladies and gentlemen, to go back to the centrality of the Word of God, taking the Word of God as being the prism by which we view whatever's taking place locally, statewide, and nationally, and internationally, looking at it through the prism of the Word of God. What is taking place and what is happening is the bottom line. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, and may I quote, he says, Christians, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I believe that is a good illustration of what we need to do in society today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor equipment company dealing in the packages being set up and delivered for those landscapers, lawn care people that want to own their own business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and has a full line of the Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole, 165-foot flagpole, with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24-7. Find that flagpole to the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the full staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, conservatives and Christians must vote. Listen, if we want to see a change in the direction of our city, if we want to see a change in the direction of our state, if we want to see a change in the direction of our nation, we must vote. We have something that no other nation on the face of the globe has. We have that freedom, the privilege, and the opportunity for we the people to make the decision and the determination of what we do as a nation. We can just look, ladies and gentlemen, for example, at China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, Ukraine. And there seems to be a single common theme that controls what those nations do that's totally different from the United States of America. We the people have the privilege of voting. We the people have the privilege of placing those in office that we want to lead us as a city, as a state, and as a nation. I believe most of us in America today, as conservatives and Christians and patriots, fully realize the high level of importance for our nation to maintain a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. We see the Biden administration today. I don't know if you've read the news, ladies and gentlemen. Don't know if you've seen the latest, but I'm looking at an article that says United States sending up to 200 additional troops to Taiwan as the China tensions grow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the early stages of World War III that's being promulgated and carried out by China and its invasion in Ukraine. Russia and China is holding the hands for Putin and Russia to do that. And yet we're sending the troops, we're sending the war material and the funding for the war to continue. It's no different, ladies and gentlemen. We fought China and Russia for 22 years in Afghanistan. in the Korean conflict, 1950, 51, 52, and 53. We fought China through the proxy in Korea. And ladies and gentlemen, we're doing the same thing today and what is taking place, and we see it happening. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a major, major need for us to recognize what is happening with our election system and make sure that we vote. Perhaps you're aware, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that since the 2020 election, there's been multitudes of lawsuits filed in state and federal courts in relationship to the Dominion software and whether or not it was a legitimate software for the election. And ladies and gentlemen, I've got an article in my hand that I think is fascinating, and it answers the question that perhaps you've had. Dominion bombshell, critical bug leading to incorrect results. The voting machines have played an inordinate role in headlines in the last few years since oddly, questionable results of the 2020 presidential election were revealed to give Joe Biden a narrow victory in states that appeared to be a majority for the Republicans. Naturally, they were questioned about the accuracy of the counts by those machines, especially after some clearly wrong results were admitted and corrected. Commentators made accusations about failures in one of the voting machines, behemoth Dominion voting machine systems. Immediately went to court, suing them for defaming the company's reputation. Some defendants responded with their own lawsuits against Dominion. And now, as a result of one of those legal actions, the Dominions by Dominion against Fox News, it's clearly revealed in a report of Just the News that one Dominion executive knew the systems had failed. It was Dominion Director of Products and Safety Security Eric Comer who admitted in email that his company's technology was marred with critical bugs leading to incorrect results in the 2020 election. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what the future holds with that lawsuit and the future representation from the company and what it will redound to, but I believe we need to recognize that there's a need for us to vote. By the way, I've said for some time now, we need to go back to the paper ballot with hand counting so there'd be no machine involved, no possibility of a glitch, no possibility of some bug getting into the system, no possibility of a thumb on the scale, so to speak, with the ballots being wrongly counted and or earmarked. Ladies and gentlemen, one other thing that I think we need to call to our attention before we introduce our guest today. A very somber, sad event has taken place in America. I've not heard it on the television news. Communist Network News, CNN, has not reported it. It's rare to find. In fact, you can dig deep on the internet and find it. But ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden, through executive order and treaty, has given the World Health Organization, that's part of the UN, UN is controlled by China, given them authority over the U.S. sovereignty. And simply put, the World Health Organization will now have the ability to declare a global pandemic emergency. And in doing so, according to three articles that I've read on this subject, they'll be able to surveil all of America. They will be able to give orders for lockdowns for all of America. They will be able to, by the power of the United Nations, they will be able to, if necessary, send in the blue-helmeted United Nations Gestapo thugs with badges and force American citizens to take a vaccination, whether you want it or not. Ladies and gentlemen, they will have control over our Medicare, Medicaid, medical system. They will have control over our freedom of movement. The World Health Organization then can bring in so-called climate change and claim that's a health issue, and it would be a pandemic of climate change that can then force us to stop driving gasoline-powered vehicles, can tell us how far we can drive, where we can drive, and what we can do. I don't know about you, but that frightens the socks off me. And all of this, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully, is as a result of the vote and the election in 2020 that's put America in jeopardy of its sovereignty. Now, that document with the UN is to be signed by Joe Biden on the 27th of this month. That's just a few days. I believe that we need to call, email, text, or get in touch with every one of our representatives in the Beltway in Washington and all of our senators and demand that they speak up, stand up, and be heard to prevent this from moving forward. Joe Biden has the authority as the executive branch to go enter into a treaty and circumvent the Senate and the U.S. Congress. And as a result of that, our nation is in great jeopardy as I speak. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that when it comes down to voting, that God gives us his voting guide. I'm going to read this verse of scripture, then we'll introduce our guest for today. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, the scripture says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of faith, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them for the rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens." Ladies and gentlemen, very succinctly and very simply put, the scripture says that when we do the God's voting guide, we find able men. That simply means having capability and competence to do the job. That we search out and vet the candidates and find such as fear God. That means men that reverence God, men that respect God's word and God, men who will have allowed their faith to direct their focus in what they do in the leadership role. And the scripture says men of truth. That's having a reputation of integrity, honesty, reliability, what that one can trust when he's placed in office, not what we've come to be known as rhinos that claim that they are conservatives and then go rogue after they're elected in office. And the scripture says, hating covetousness. Ladies and gentlemen, not like the Biden family cabal, not like Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, Joe Biden, and Jill Biden, and those that are making millions in relationship to China and Russia and Ukraine, not greedy, not grasping, not looking for a bribe, but willing to serve, not for wealth, but for the wisdom that God gives them in the serving. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have with us today as our very special guest, Jacksonville City Council candidate for District 2 and our city council, Mike Gay. Mike is going to be with us in the rest for the balance of our broadcast. Mike, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for having me on here, and I appreciate the opportunity, and I count it an honor and a privilege to be here on your show this morning.
Amen. Well, it's a blessing to have you. Your reputation has preceded you, so I'm delighted to have you with us today, Mike. I'm looking forward to our discussion and what God's going to do in your candidacy for representing District 2 here in the city. Mike, would you take a few minutes, as long as you feel necessary, introduce yourself to our audience, tell them something about your background, your upbringing, your profession, what you're doing, and then we'll get into some further questions.
Yes, sir. I'm Mike Gay. I'm the candidate for City Council District 2. I've lived in Jacksonville all my life. I love God, my family, my country. And in 2020, I realized these things were under attack, and I have entered the race to fight for them. What sets me apart from my opponents, I've always been a Republican from day one without wavering. I'm a businessman, not a career politician.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm not looking to change a career for, a better paying job. It's not about the money for me. I'm the only grassroots candidate who is supported by, and this is very important, supported by local voters and local businesses. Mm-hmm. I have consistently led in campaign contributions without accepting a dime from dark money, Tallahassee PACs, and out-of-state liberals. I have not, nor will I seek the endorsements of deep-pocket developers that will ravish our land and leave us with the spoils in exchange for a contribution or bragging rights. I take issue with council members who sit on the boards of nonprofits, earning six-figure salaries, funneling our tax dollars into their paychecks. I am the founder and president of a successful business for 33 years. I'm a state-certified electrical contractor, state-certified general contractor, underground utility contractor. I'm a nationally certified crane operator, and unlike Biden, I do have a CDL, truck driver license. So over the past 33 years, I have worked extensively with municipalities throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. My extensive business knowledge far surpasses any appointments to committees or boards, my expertise in finance, budgeting, business management, and construction not only sets me apart from my opponents, it sets me apart from the entire city council. My compassion is for the people who are being crushed by overtaxation, struggling to meet ends meet, living on fixed incomes and going without, who are tired of seeing, this is so important, who are tired of seeing our children's futures financed. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I've entered this race. That's why I respectfully, you know, asking for the constituents of District 2 to entrust me and earn their vote.
Amen. Mike, thank you so much for that. I'm thankful to hear the background and the information that you've shared with our listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. If you've got any questions you'd like to ask Mike about, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. You've heard me say this before with other candidates that are running that we've had the privilege of meeting, greeting, and talking with. When Mike is in his race, he's running for District 2 here in the city. We'll talk about that district and what it encompasses in a moment. But when we elect a candidate for his district, he represents all of the city once he's sworn into office. It's not just a matter that he's going to make a vote, make a decision for just what is happening in his district, though that is his major responsibility. He's also responsible for his vote and his decision and the trajectory and the direction for our entire city. And so I think it is a valid question in relationship to Mike's candidacy to understand that. And I believe that we need to recognize that he's going to represent all of the people. Mike, I believe that all of Jacksonville's citizens will say that Al Ferrero did a good job in 8 years. I believe everybody that's listening, everybody that knows Mike, Mike was the candidate, was the representative for District 2 for 8 years. Are you interested in, are you going to follow through? Are you going to basically follow in the footsteps of Al Ferrero and doing the superb job that he had done, or do you see things that need to be dramatically changed?
Yes, sir. Al has done a tremendous job in our community.
I believe he has.
And I met Al, I hadn't had any connection with Al prior to the 2020 election. And we were contacted by the Trump campaign team. We had the Eric Trump rally. They mm-hmm. wanted to do it, Eric Trump rally at our office. So we were like, yeah, let's do it. You know, it's kind of a once in a lifetime deal. And so,
right.
You know, we had Eric Trump come in and all the Secret Service, and it was all pretty neat. But mm-hmm. I got to meet a lot of the elected officials there. And that's when I met Al, and he stood out head and shoulders above a lot of the others were there. And so, you know, from then to where we are now, a good 24 months that I've known Al, or so, a little bit longer, and I've entered the race that I've been, you know, been campaigning for a little over 20 months. I've got to see what Al's done. I've been to meetings and with the community, and Al has done so much for our community that, you know, he has stood up for the people.
Amen.
He's the Black Hammock Island. He's had to constantly fight the developers back from coming out there and ravishing that land. And he stood with the people. And the more I got around him, the more I understood. I like your principles. I like what you're about. You're for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's not all about how much, if I pass this, how much can you take care of me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's eight, 19 city councilmen. Council people, 17 are on the boards of nonprofits.
Mm.
And
talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up. You're a businessman. You signed the front of a check, not the back of the check. And in doing so, you know how to manage a budget. You know how to bring costs down. You know how to control the expenditures to make a net profit in your business. If you didn't know that, you wouldn't be in business very long. So from that standpoint, bringing your business acumen into focus on city council, what would you do about that? How can you, as a city councilman, impact the constant flow of funds into the pockets of nonprofits, and many of those nonprofits owned and controlled are managed by city council members.
Yes, sir. That's been one of the drums that I've been beating loud and clear is, you know, just with Al's example that I'm not myself affiliated with any nonprofits. Do I say nonprofits are bad? No, they're not bad. I support them, but I don't think our tax dollars should be the driving force behind these nonprofits. That when you have a city council meeting, at the 2-minute drill at the end of the city council meeting, at close to midnight, that you're going to sit here and have a special vote to distribute millions and millions of dollars to a selected few nonprofits. It's what I call boomerang money.
That's right.
They're throwing it out with their left hand, and it's going over our heads and right back to them, and they're putting it and catching it with their right hand, and it's going in their pocket, and they're saying, how good was that for you? Mm-hmm. And they're going all the way to the bank cashing that paycheck, and it's got to stop. That's not – I'm all for effective spending. If it doesn't need to be spent, and the way I run my business, and my people know that if we don't need it, we don't spend it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we need it, we need to – there's a reason why. And so it's got to be effective spending. And that's what we've got to pull the reins back, because we're too liberal with our spending.
Absolutely.
You see, we sit here and say we need a gas tax. We say we need to increase millage tax for the school board. Look, we don't have a tax deficit problem in our city. We have a tax spending problem.
Yes. Good.
And
well stated.
That's what we've got to get dialed back in, get basically rodeo it back, and let's get refocused. Repurpose of what we're doing, and it's going to take some tough choices. It's going to take some tough people to do it. That's not going to bend a knee and to sit there and succumb to the pressures. And that's where I'll take my stand.
Amen. Well, I'm thankful to hear that. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking to Mike Gay. Mike is the candidate for District 2, City Council here in Jacksonville for the City Council membership. Al Ferrero is now in that district. He's been in that district for some 8 years. Al is the, my opinion, the most favorable leading candidate for our mayor's race. And so it is my prayer that you will call in, ask questions to Mike, and see what your thoughts are in relationship to standing with him. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor Youngblood.
Good morning. Go ahead. Go ahead quickly with the question. We're coming up on our hard break for the news.
I appreciate the brother that's talking, and I appreciate that because it's so much corruption in our system right now. It's just ridiculous. We got to just keep praying and ask for anything else. I don't know if I'm in District 2. I stayed out of town. And I just wanted to know, am I in that district? I still, what is it, baby?
Quickly, Kenneth, let me ask you to do this. Not giving your street address, you don't have to do that. But what is the street that you're on? And maybe Mike could determine what district you're in.
Noonan Street off of Ashley.
Okay, that I believe is going to be Noonan Street down Ashley. That's going to probably be District 7.
Okay.
District 7. What you can do, Kenneth, is this. Call all your friends that live in District 7 and say, vote for Mike Gay. That is the way that you can handle that.
Yes, sir.
And Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Looking forward to what God is going to do. Encourage everybody. We need to vote. As Christians, conservatives, and as patriots, we need to vote and recognize that every vote does count. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break for about 1 minute. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.